warmly welcome all members present. Special word of welcome to the Deputy Minister of COGTA, Honorable Temi Gadime.
Recording in progress.
As well as the Honorable MEC of COGTA in the Northwest, Honorable Lena Mecha, and your teams. Take this opportunity as well, welcome all the stakeholders who have been invited to form part of this engagement. We have invited all political parties in the Tuaim local municipality. We have also invited the labor unions we've represented in that municipality. We have also extended our invitation to external stakeholders. I'm also informed that SALGA, which is a parent body for all municipalities, has been invited to this important meeting. I just checked the quorum. We satisfy the necessary requirements to hold this meeting, because when I checked, there were about 9 members of the select committee who are part of this important meeting. With that, as I indicated, you are warmly welcomed. We have interrupted our program this morning. We are 3 weeks, just exactly 3 weeks before we have our local government elections, municipal elections, which are going to be held on the 1st of November this year. And here we are. We are here because of the imperatives of the Constitution. As you are aware, we meet here precisely to consider the notice of intervention in respect of the dissolution of the Tuaim local municipality by the provincial government of the Northwest. In terms of the program itself, we are going to receive a presentation from the Honorable MEC. She will guide us in terms of how we are going to proceed forward in terms of this particular matter on the table. After her presentation, we are going to take the input from the Deputy Minister or any of the officials of COGTA at national level represented here, but their purpose is just to share with us the decision of the minister in respect of the notice of intervention or the dissolution, as it were, of the Tuaim local municipality. After that, we are going to take some input from political parties that are represented in the Tuaim local municipality. We will take the inputs from the labor union. I think it's Mati as well as Sami. Thereafter, we will check which community organizations are invited to this meeting. If they are present, we are also going to solicit their input in respect of the decision taken by the Northwest Provincial Government to dissolve this municipality. Lastly, we will round off the discussion by taking an input from SALGA to solicit the view of SALGA as a body representing municipalities in the country, but specifically in this instance in the Northwest province. That is how we are going to run our program this morning. After we have received the input, members of parliament are going to ask questions, engage with the submissions received. That is how we are going to proceed. Based on that, we are going to reconvene ourselves as members of parliament at 5 o'clock this afternoon to discuss the report that we would have prepared emanating from the discussions of this morning. This is how we are going to proceed. As I said, welcome. To just state some few remarks, measure that we don't take lightly. It is a decision that basically dissolves and disbands, if you want to put it that way, a municipality that is democratically elected. And we are going to listen to the provincial government, why they dissolve the Paing local municipality in terms of Section 1391C of the Constitution. The MEC will share with us the reasons why they took such a decision to dissolve a municipality, especially a month before the local government elections. As you are aware, in terms of the process itself, once a provincial government dissolves a municipality through the MEC, it must immediately inform the Minister of Culture as well as the NCOP. Both the Minister and the NCOP are expected to respond within 14 days to either approve the intervention or disapprove the intervention. Once the intervention is approved, it means the provincial government can go ahead to implement the intervention by placing an administrator and by doing all these sorts of things to stabilize the municipality. Once we say no, we disapprove the intervention, it means it stops immediately. We will meet as the House in NCOP on Wednesday, the 13th, to consider the report of the Select Committee of the proceedings of this morning, as well as what will transpire in the afternoon as we when we meet as a committee to consider the report. We don't know how it will go. We are going to have an open mind. We are going to apply our minds. We are going to listen quite carefully to the submissions that are going to be made to this meeting, and we are going to engage, as I indicated, with the submissions received, and based on that, we are going to apply our mind fully, check whether all the procedural aspects were followed, check whether the constitutional aspects were followed, check whether there are substantive reasons why the Northwest government has taken such a drastic measure to invoke Section 1391C of the Constitution of dissolving that municipality of Tswahili. This is how we are going to proceed. I thought perhaps I must just outline this process because it is very, very much important as well. With that, can I take this opportunity to invite the Honorable MEC, Honorable Lena Mecha, to address this meeting on the reasons why the Northwest government took a decision to dissolve the Tswahili local municipality. If you don't mind, I've seen your presentation, Honorable MEC. It has about 16 slides. I will give you about 15 to 20 minutes to address this committee on the dissolution of the Tswahili local municipality. Over to you, Honorable MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dodovu, the Chair of the Select Committee on Cooperative Governance. I don't know if I'm audible. And maybe take this opportunity to also greet members of the Select Committee, the colleagues from COCTA, the colleagues from SALGA, and all other relevant stakeholders, including the municipality of Tswahili, local municipality. The Honorable Chair must confirm indeed, as we communicated to your good office, that on the 22nd of September 2021, the provincial exco took a resolution to dissolve Tswayeng local municipality. This was by the very serious challenges that that municipality is facing, wherein there's there's literally collapse of service delivery in Tswayeng local municipality. There are totally no operations in the Tswayeng local municipality. Literally, you can't trace whether even the at the level of governance there's work done by the municipality. Key to that, the municipality is faced by serious financial distress. The municipality cannot do anything. I'm going to request through you, Honorable Chair, that we then give to the HOD or the Chief Director to present our report that will then confirm to the facts that I am putting before your August House today. But we must indicate also that we've at some point met with some of the stakeholders who had requested to meet with us in regard to the state of the municipality of Tswayeng. We met with them. They put before us some suggestions which were considered also at the time IFSCO was meeting to take a resolution in this regard. Even beyond that, the developments in the municipality could not even give us a sense of any intention to improve by the municipality. We then finally also, as part of the meetings that we had, we met with the mayor, the speaker, and the municipal manager who came to seek for an intervention based on the challenges that the municipality is facing, where there was an admittance to say the municipality is literally going down the drain and therefore would request the provincial government to intervene in this instance. We then compiled a report which was presented before EXCO, which then informed a resolution of the intervention on Section 139, 1C of the Constitution on joining local municipality. If you allow me, Honorable Chair, let me give to the Chief Director to then present a report before your August House. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Director or HOD, over to you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Select Committee, the Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable MEC and all stakeholders of the Union Salga, and all the colleagues, protocol observed, good morning. I am going to present on behalf of the department the presentation, which is a briefing report to the Select Committee on the issue of Tswayeng. Our presentation is configured. In the first page, we have the presentation outlined. We have the purpose, the background, procedural matters that relate to this intervention, substantive matters that relate to this intervention, the status of the appointment of the intervention team, the monitoring interventions that we have done as a department, a suggestion on way forward or a proposal, and then finally also the conclusion, which is recommendation. In terms of slide two of the presentation, our purpose is to brief the Select Committee on procedural matters, substantive matters, and also the status on appointment of the intervention team. If we go to slide four, in terms of slide four, our background is as follows. The Northwest Provincial Council resolved to dissolve the Council of Tswayeng Local Municipality and invoke Section 1391C of the Constitution, and it was with immediate effect. This decision was not taken lightly. it was a meeting of the EXCO Committee of Provincial Government, which was taken on the 22nd of September 2021, having considered all the issues that impact on the Swahili and municipality and its functionality. The dissolution would last until a new council is elected, and it will be assuming office thereafter, after the local municipal election. And then the department has to implement a mandatory intervention based on section 13915 of the constitution. The next slide is a table which provides the details of the procedural requirements which the chair was requesting for us to clarify why we took the decision. In terms of that, under the procedural requirements.
Sorry, there is an echo. Just try to knock that out because you are repetitive. Okay, you can proceed. And you didn't introduce yourself.
I'm trying to ensure that the echo doesn't happen. I think it's a technical error on my side. I'm not sure if the echo is still okay. We have switched off our phones and made sure that there is no interference.
No, it's okay. That's better now.
Thank you. My name is Mamorena Lehoko. Thank you, Chair. My name is Mamorena Lehoko. I am the acting HOD for the department.
Okay.
I was on the procedural requirements of this intervention by legislation. We start with section 3 of the constitution, which reads as follows: that if a municipal council is dissolved in terms of section 1C, that dissolution would actually take effect 14 days from the receipt of the notice by council, and unless be set aside by that council.
Interrupting us, man. I wonder who's that ill-disciplined person. Let me check.
I think it would help if you take control in terms of muting other stakeholders and just allow one mic.
Yeah, there is Jury Botta. It's Jury Botta who's interrupting this meeting. Yes, but I can see he has muted. Can you proceed? Please, once more.
All right.
Just before you proceed, can you please? This is an important meeting of Parliament. This meeting has been shown live on television and in all the necessary channels because of its magnitude and importance. And I don't want any of the participants here to feel and to disrupt this meeting. Important presentation that is made before the committee. But I sincerely can I request that admin, if there is someone who wants to interrupt with this process and our proceeding, that's Jury Botta. Who's Jury Botta? There is a certain admin.
Okay.
Can you unlock Jury Botta, please? He's in admin, can you unlock this person, please? Yeah, we're trying to, just wait a bit, we're trying to remove this person who's interfering with the meeting. We can't allow this situation to happen in the way that it is happening. Just a second. Yes, you can proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am now on the slide which talks about procedural requirements and the compliances that the department has to implement in terms of administrative compliance. I just want to make a correction there. On your slide, you would see, Chair, that it says Section 3. The actual correction there is Section 1393. So before that 3 there, it would read Section 139, then 3 of the Constitution. That is how it reads, that if a municipal council is dissolved in terms of Section 1C, then the dissolution would take effect 14 days from the date of receipt of the notice by the local council, unless it was set aside by the very same council and before the expiry of those 14 days of that notice. So in terms of compliance on our side, Chair, on the 6th of October 2021, we then had a concurrence which was received from the minister, in which the minister concurred with the PEC decision to dissolve Council of Swain Local Municipality. And then for today, I think it is obvious, we have just written there as a note that the department will be appearing before the select committee. The next slide. On the next slide, we continue with procedural matters. That it should be noted, Chair, that the written notice was submitted to Swain Local Municipality on the 1st of October for the attention of Municipal Council through the Mayor and the Speaker's Office. We also, as a department, arranged a courtesy engagement with the Council on this matter, the meeting of which was arranged to take place on the 7th of October. The Speaker of the Municipality then wrote to the MEC raising a concern of the inability from their side to convene Council until the MEC would respond to the letter from their lawyers relating to the court interdict status. The appointment of the administrator team from the side of COCTA will be finalized. And the MEC in turn has also courteously responded to the issue that was raised by the speaker on the letter which comes from the lawyers. So we did respond to the municipality on that matter, which we deem to be a parallel process to this one, though related. And the matters are separated in that order because we're looking at applying proper administrative procedure. Now, we're looking at also the next slide on the substantive matters here. There was a meeting between our Honorable MEC and the Ratepayers Association. They were threatening to take over the municipal services. They were citing the following as a challenge. And I believe that the stakeholders are here, Chair, and they will speak to the issues and the concerns that they have. The first issue is that there is a failure by the municipality to provide sustainable water service provision to the community. There's a failure by the municipality to clean the town, fix things such as the street lights and attend to potholes, etc. The municipal offices are always closed and the municipal manager is not accessible, including the administration, for assistance. There's basically no one to communicate to when there is service delivery challenges in the municipality. Now we come to the issue that the chair was raising on the reasons motivating for invoking Section 139, 1C as part of our intervention as a department. looking at the state of affairs and the challenges that have been raised, there is a collapse of service delivery, and it is characterized by the following. The refuse removal and the cleaning of the township is not being done. So there is no dedicated schedule that shows how this will be implemented, and it's not happening. There's interrupted supply of water due to lack of maintenance and non-payment of water services. The municipality is unable to maintain its service delivery fleet, and there's generally poor maintenance and operation of infrastructure. Now, in terms of that, the department has an obligation to implement an intervention. And from the side of the department, Section 1521B of the Constitution provides that the municipality must ensure the provision of services to communities in a sustainable manner. It is a concern that we are also just at the nick of the local government election, and this state of affairs is not helping the situation. Section 1521D of the Constitution also provides that the municipality must promote a safe and healthy environment to its community. The whole situation warrants that there should be an intervention, and it is guided then by the prescript of the Constitution. In the next slide, as we continue, the following are the issues pertaining to governance and administration and instability in the municipalities characterized by the following. There are two mayors, two speakers after there was a vote of no confidence, and two municipal managers. The work committee is dysfunctional. There was a closing of the municipal offices by members of the union, which are present in this meeting, and they would speak to the concerns that they have concerning the obligatory or statutory payment of the workers. The municipality has remained stagnant in terms of improving on their audit outcome. There's a qualified audit opinion which was received for the past 3 years, and there is a potential to can improve the situation there. And only if a full concentration and focus can be applied on improving the internal control environment and fully implementing the post-audit action plan. The MPEC, which is a very strategic committee, is not functional, and the municipality has a challenge of changing the composition of MPEC members as and when. So it's a very unstable committee. The municipality has an outstanding oversight report for the financial year 2018-19 and 2019-20 consecutively. The municipality is owing pension funds, as we said, these are statutory obligations in terms of the payment of workers. This is due to cash flow challenges. Now, in terms of that, the failure of the executive obligation, the Constitution then requires that in terms of Section 160 of the Constitution, the Municipal Council makes a decision concerning the exercise of all the powers and the performance of their function in the municipality in order to improve on the overall performance of the municipality. Now you go to the Municipal Structures Act number 117 of 1998. In terms of the Structures Act, the council must establish a council committee, and it is for this reason that the Municipal Public Accounts Committee are established in order to perform their obligatory oversight roles, as well as municipal financial and non-financial role in dealing with all the obligatory financial matters. Now we continue with the state of affairs and challenges. The municipality is financially distressed, and this is characterized by the municipality being technically insolvent and unable to meet all its short-term obligations if they fail, which is due to the municipality currently implementing a budget which is not properly municipally funded, and there is insufficient cash flow to cover municipal operations on a day-to-day basis. There's a total outstanding amount to the debtor, which is 354 million as of June 2021, of which 329 million are to the extent of 92% of the debt, which is outstanding for over 90 days period. The credit control and debt, the debt situation is not implemented, especially on the household debtors, as they are owing a huge amount, totaling 282 million of the total debt. The total outstanding creditors amounts to 159 million as of June 2021, of which out of that amount, 139 is owed for more than 90 days. The Tuaim municipality is owing Eskom a total amount of 54 million rand. And this is a clear indication, Chair, that creditors are not being paid within the legislative period of 30 days. The municipality is also unable to pay its third-party transactions, such as the pension fund, etc. I think we have already alluded to this aspect. Now, if we look at legislation, Constitution, Section 153 provides that a municipality must structure and manage its administration and budgeting and planning processes so that it gives priority to the provision of basic needs for the community and promotes socio-economic development for that community. The Municipal Finance Management Act, Section 18.1A-C of the MFMA, also provides a framework that an annual budget may only be funded from realistically anticipated revenue which is collected. There should be a cash that accumulated funds from previous year surpluses not committed for other purposes. Borrowed funds, but only for the capital budget referred to in Section 17.2. In terms of Section 64, Subsection 1 of the MFMA, there's a provision that an accounting officer of the municipality is then responsible for the revenue generation of that municipality. The Municipal Systems Act 32 of 2000 provides that the accounting officer must put systems and controls in place for credit control and for debt collection. Chair, we are coming to the monitoring of our interventions at Tuaim. As a department, we have established a task team, and this task team will be is consisting of provincial COCTA, provincial treasury, and also our national COCTA intervention. We will continue to monitor this intervention. We will also be looking at monthly reports, which we require, in order to assess the progress of our intervention. The assessment of the progress report, as we have indicated, will then guide and indicate to us whether the intervention that we are doing is successful or not. Now, this is how we are also supporting the municipality, because it is our obligation as COCTA to do so. Chair, we are monitoring and supporting the municipality to comply with the Municipal Systems Act regulations on the appointment of their senior managers. We are providing support to promote participation in the community-based local governance processes. We are guiding the municipality to comply with the implementation of the MPRA processes. We have assisted with the remediation of the valuation role to the billing system to ensure that there's completeness and accurate billing. We're encouraging the municipality consistently to implement their credit control and their debt collection policy. And to this end, we have made an assessment of their policy, and we have made recommendations to effect some changes to that policy. We have facilitated an engagement session on the payment of outstanding debt, which is owed by government departments. We are monitoring the implementation interim or draft annual financial statements, which would be on a quarterly basis. We are implementing capacity building interventions, and we've conducted such, which includes, amongst others, sessions on the NPEG, their roles, clarification, and responsibility. We have also guided them on the compilation of their oversight reports, which address the issue of UIF and W, which is a concern at this stage for both the committees. We have assisted with compilation of that annual report, and the municipality was able to address the backlog of their oversight reports, which was for 9 years continuously. In terms of way forward, Chair, we are looking at appointment of the administrator so that there is no vacuum of administration, and this process is going to be expedited by our Honourable MEC. We are drafting very clear terms of reference for the administrator so that the work can be done speedily so. We are developing a monitoring plan for the intervention task team, and it will be then approved by the MEC, and this will be used as a tool for us to be able to assist the municipality. We are recommending, therefore, Chair, that we are submitting this report for support and consideration by the Select Committee and the NCOP. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. It is quite clear, and the reasons that are advanced, we will interrogate them, examine them. Can I invite the Deputy Minister, Honorable Ken Winterdume, to just confirm the position of the national government in respect of this particular decision? There could be other issues that she wants to bring to our attention. Over to you, Honorable Nkadiwe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to colleagues, good morning to members of the committee, morning to stakeholders from Zwaing, Ratepayers Association, the unions, the business chamber, amongst others that are confirmed to be in attendance, members of Parliament, SAUGA. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Thank you very much, HOD, for the presentation. I have got a Chief Director and Director in attendance, representing the Minister from the Department. Chair, the presentation was well articulated. I think there's just one area which we could be able to add on, as we possibly did with question and answer session, the impact negatively on the administration side because of the existence of 2MM and the difficulty to carry some of the functions that are administrative and another responsibility while in the custody of the municipality to ensure the day-to-day functioning of the department. The minister, as the presentation did indicate, received the letter and the request and gave a concurrence to the Provincial Executive Committee request for 1391C, which is a dissolution of Zwaing Municipality. The stipulation, of course, were to be followed according to the procedure as they were presented. I think that's the brief addition I can make for now. Honorable Chair, but be confirming that the Honorable Minister did communicate with the PC COCTA in the province, giving a concurrence to the request that was made in the beginning of this month of October. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister Nkadiwe, for sharing this useful information with us in respect of the position of the Ministry and the Department in terms of the decision taken by the Northwest Government dissolve the Swahili local municipality. With that, let's proceed to listen to the views of the political parties that are represented in the Swahili local municipality. I know that we have the EFF, the DA, the ANC. Do we have the Freedom Fund Plus in that municipality? Yes, I think we have a seat, one seat in that respect. Can I start with the Freedom Fund Plus? If I may also guide, we will give each party about 5 minutes to address us. 5 minutes at the most to address us on their views in respect of the decision of the provincial government of the Northwest to dissolve the municipality. Over to you, Freedom Fund Plus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. If I may, my name is David Nel. I'm from the provincial committee, COXA committee. If I may represent the FF Plus, thank you.
Okay. Do you want to express a view about the decision of the provincial government? The view of
that
the
is part- That is correct, Mr. Chairperson, but I'll be very short, thank you.
Yes, you can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. I just want to say that as a portfolio committee or the provincial portfolio committee, we only received the link for this meeting about 5 minutes ago. And as well, from a provincial level, as a portfolio committee, we are not, there's no correspondence with us in relating to this. And as well, there's no consultation which is being done at provincial level on the portfolio committee, which is a very big concern to me and I'm sure to other members of the Northwest Province. Thank you.
Yes, let me just clarify that matter. We, after receiving the notice of intervention a day or 2 days after the decision was taken, as you understand, we are expected to resolve this issue within 14 days. We communicated, and this is a normal practice, we communicated with the provincial department to indicate who we want to invite for this meeting. And it is the department at provincial level that has the responsibility to invite all the stakeholders that would have been identified by this select committee. Normally we extend an invitation to the portfolio committee at the provincial level. We extend an invitation to all the parties, political parties represented in council. We also extend an invitation to the unions, to SALGA, as well as community organizations. Whether it's business, it's women, it's youth, we all leave this to the office of the MEC or the department itself at the provincial level to help us with that facilitation and coordination. As to what happened, it's out of our hands, but this is a matter that can be taken up with the provincial government, the provincial department, so that we check exactly what might have happened. You either receive the invitation late or you didn't receive the invitation at all. It is our interest, it is our best interest that all stakeholders are here and we are able to engage them in respect of the decision itself. But nevertheless, let's proceed. Mr. Nel, your party, is it not represented at the level of the local municipality of Swahili?
We are represented at that level, but just to be clear, I received a link from my colleague, Honorable Ditoy. Thank you.
Oh, Honorable Ditoy, who is a member of the LCMP.
Correct.
Okay. Let's proceed. councillor from Swahili is available, will speak to us at some stage here so that we afford them the opportunity to address us on this important matter. Can I move to the Democratic Alliance? I will give you the platform. I think I must firstly start with your local representative, a councillor in your municipality. But if you want to speak as well, I'll give you that platform. Let's start here with a councillor who is represented within the municipality itself.
All right, Chair, my name is Kagiso Mangwejan. I'm a focus leader in your municipality. In the Northwest. I want to go to slide 13 of the report from the local government. In slide 13, when they talk about capacity building interventions, we have never received any support from the provincial government. And the intervention has never worked in Swahili. It has never worked. Just like this report came when Tate Mose was the administrator. They removed him without even telling the council what is happening. I think what is happening in Zwaine, that's the result of poor support from the local government. The MEC just has been appointed last, but she never came to council, see council, what is happening here? There was a report with the former MEC who passed away, the Section 106 report. They never came that we found this and we must go back to this thing and work on this thing. There has been instability in Zwaine, and the provincial government was always absent. We have sent them letters and letters and letters from the national part, from our national channels, but they've never responded. And today they are claiming that they've been assisting in Swahili. That's very, very poor. That's very, very poor. What they did when we had two mayors and two speakers, we have been governed by courts, not the MFMA, not the Structures Act, because of the poor provincial support. And there is legality in this matter. There is a court interdict. They even failed to go to court and challenge this thing. I'm ashamed that MEC Lena Mira came today saying she's going to dissolve Swahili. But she never came to council. She went there and met with the ANC, not with council. And the rot is in administration. You send the politicians away, but there is a matter in this administration that the government failed to intervene. The council has been frozen. What? They do. They have taken sides. I mean, we can dissolve Swahili, but it's going to still be routine because they're all within the administration that they are failing to provide support. How many interventions that we had in Swahili? But none had worked. They went all over and never came with report in Swahili. Not remembering that councillors are elected by their constituencies. But today, but then said, where were they? I think that the China, I wanna put her in the provincial government.
Are you still there? Rema Pachadi, are you still there? Yes, he cut off while she was still on the platform. Maybe he still has 2 minutes to address us. We might want to come back to him when he is connected again. No, it's okay. We heard what the DA say in respect of the intervention. Can I invite the EFF, Economic Freedom Fighters? The stage is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Sikhabayela Khansu, a party leader in Swahili municipality representing the EFF. Chair and colleagues, I'm worried that the MEC of local government, Mayor Mika, came now in this Swahili municipality, whereby in Swahili municipality we had a lot of administration, in our term. We got Ntate Mose and Ntate Seth Ramakaha and others in the MECs. The MECs came to our municipality, but they never solved the issue that was bothering the municipality, or the issue that was bothering the municipality at large. More especially the issue that affects the councillor of Tuaim. Any term of council in Tuaim is being disturbed, Honorable Chair. The administration of the Tuaim local government is the one who gives me as the problem. And the provincial office or provincial level didn't see whatever that Tuaim is drowning at. So I'm worried that the intervention of the MEC as the she is pretty correct when I would say there's no service delivery in Tuaim. She's very correct. But this matter is now overdue for her to come in Tuaim to put us in section 139C. And according to me, Honorable Chair, the provincial conference, the provincial legislature, or the MEC, if I may say, and his committee, or her committee, they entertain all the actions of the ANC in this municipality. Hence, you've been seen in media that is the person who called by the name of Chauke. I don't know that Chauke. Chauke, last time when he came to the municipality, he just came with a political battle in the municipality. So we can't allow that to happen in Tuaim, Honorable Chair. In Tuaim, people are living with no water. In Tuaim, people are living with no services. But hence, we are going to be to entertain the political battles or the factions of the other political parties. ANC have never ruled this municipality for so long. When we enter the council, we have to adopt the budget of the 2007. And the ANC has been leading. The MEC could at least have intervened while we are asking for water for our community as councillors. She could at least maybe intervene in the matter of the RPP from human settlement. In the region, extension 8 was 14. That is, that RPP has never even been there. There are incomplete projects in this municipality. The province must intervene. We don't have roads here in Tuaim, more especially in our locals, in our community. There is no such. So, MEC, I'm just going to be short. Please, let the MEC at least tell us in where did she get the report that we didn't comply, because I've heard in her report of the director that says the expo had meet. I don't know which expo, because we have two, if I may say, we have two expo, we've got two mayors, we've got two municipal managers, we've got two CFOs. So I don't know which expo did she met, so that maybe we can be clarified about the report that she got. Nevertheless, please, MEC must not confuse governance with the political issues. So here we are running the government. So the province fails for him from our term, from 2016. committee is being closed time to time. So Councillor Andirakan from 2050, we never worked. And we've never even enjoyed our salary because we can see that we've never worked. So this thing of the laborers of Kaling, or the employees of Kaling, that they don't want to be disciplined. They mustn't involve councillors in this mess. In Kaling, we're having people who say they are working in the municipalities, but they don't work. That is the honest truth. And the problem of councillors not performing their duties accordingly is because they've been framed by the employees, and this thing is not for, it's not for now. The employees, yes, they are from far away, they have statutory issues. The issue here is not what they are saying. The issue is them. They don't want to work, they don't want to be disciplined. So that the council must be at least in that this council in this time they've been wet. So every time when they even convene or they gather our community to support their strike, we can't go on in Choi like this. Even if not I'm in council, Choi will never be in good position or in good standing of serving the community due to the labors of the employees who are working in Choi. They do nothing. They are engaged with the municipal manager, Mr. Muruti Manos, because he wants to discipline them. The issue here is not their fiduciary deductions, no. The issue here is politicians who are working in this municipality. We can see now, they want, previously after during lockdowns, during this time of COVID-19, we have experienced a strike of laborers. We had that the laborers or the employees of this municipality are the ones who are fighting. They even go to the area that they was a violation and the assault done by the employees together with the security of the municipality, which is led by, sorry?
That's Rwanda.
Okay.
Yes. Please.
Okay.
I'm giving you more time.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Which is now we are experiencing a lot of difficulties to enter the office. There is no council that has never sat until this far, Honorable Chair. We've been sitting in council. The thing is that the council has been parallel divided by the ANC councillors who are not intent to serve our community. So the non-councillors of the ANC and the 11 councillors, they are divided. And they started to divide the council. So we couldn't go with the other, or we couldn't even give them that tension or that time to entertain them when they are doing that to our community. That's why we are staying here at ESF since 2019, and then since 2016, we've been in this council. And was led by the Mayor Mangi Marane and the Speaker Panele. This is the council that we've been attending. And we've been...
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. In short, I just want the MEC to know that she never attends the legislation of the government to say that she is dissolving Swahili, hence she's never accepted the Swahili. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. And I'm sorry, I gave you more time, and I can see that you have more issues. But nevertheless, thank you very much, Ms. Khazu. The ANC, before that, I've seen Mr. Magwetsa and me. I will give you an additional 2 minutes
additional 2 minutes because you cut, you got cut. Over to you. Just mute your mic, please, and any other person whose mic is unmuted, can you just do that so that you don't disturb the proceedings of this meeting, please? Over to you, the DA, can you round up your broadcast? Kagiso, Honorable Kagiso, over to you. I'll leave the DA and move to the ANC. ANC?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me first acknowledge the presence of the Chairperson of the Select Committee, the MEC present here, Honorable Mr. Lena Mika, and other Honorables that are present in this meeting, Chairperson. All the stakeholders that are here, and thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I'm not going to be long. At the ANC, we received the communique from the MEC that Swahili has been dissolved last week, that we convened the council for the decisions we communicated. We have been listening to the report of the MEC that they made an assessment that when they come into the decision at the EXCO to dissolve Swahili based on the report that has been presented by the department. Firstly, Honorable Chairperson, the content of the reasons that are being raised now by the Honorable MEC is not the same as the content of the letter that we received as the council that Swahili is being dissolved. And the content, let me say, Honorable Chairperson, I do acknowledge that we have the challenges in Swahili, like all other municipalities. That I don't dispute. But we never received the support, like the report that has been presented by the MEC, that they have been supporting the municipality. With the challenges that we had in the municipality, since Honorable MEC Khatibe made sole responsibility, after we received, we had challenges in the municipality, we wrote the report to the then MEC, hence that time the intervention of Section 1B, which the councillor of the DA said he was removed from the municipality, and he was doing well by then, and he was removed by through the influence of some SAMU members. And with, let me just set an example of when I say the content of the report presented by the MEC is not the true reflection of what is transpiring in Swahili. When we got into council in 2016, we had 8 outstanding oversight reports, and we could not table our oversight because it was blocked by those 8 out, which we as the current council, we came tabled. And with regard to the issue of compliance, it's not a true reflection of what the MEC is saying. We have tabled all the compliance issues regardless of the challenges that we are having. For the municipality to be in what is today, Honorable Chair, is after the appointment of an illegal municipal manager. That's where we are today. But with regard to us being dissolved based on the council failing to comply with its legislative obligations, it's not the truth, Honorable Chairperson, and that we can contest. I'm not going to go much, but what I'm saying, what these councillors, the representatives of the opposition have been saying is nothing else but the truth. We are being dissolved because of the influence of some SAMU members. The MEC said she came to consult with the stakeholders. She came to Swahili, Honorable Chair, to come and consult with the taxpayers. By then, they took Ngakamudiri Moleba not Swahili to court because of the poor service delivery, especially with regard to water. And that's what we have attended as a municipality, local and the district. We had a meeting with the Premier and the MEC. But with regard to that, we are not. She came to consult with the stakeholders. She only came in the municipality to come and consult with few SAMU members without even the knowledge of council, without even the knowledge of the mayor. We were just informed that the MEC was in the municipality. We went to the MEC. After she was appointed as the MEC Honorable Chairperson, we had the meet and greet and this meeting with all the mayors. I requested the MEC to give us the hearing with the management and the Troika and EXCO that so that we can come and share with him, because we have submitted reports to the then MEC Mwilwa, to the MEC Joine, and they are lying in the department. No response came forth to the municipality after all those reports were submitted, like the councillors are saying. I requested the hearing with the MEC. She never responded. Instead, she came to Swahili to come and meet only with some few SAMU members. And like she has indicated in her report, Honorable Chairperson, that the department has supported the municipality, but that's totally not the truth. For us to be in this mess is because of lack of support of the department. But I'm not disputing that as a municipality, it's our responsibility to ensure that we bring service delivery to the communities, but the department never supported us. We even wrote to the office of the then Premier that we are having challenges. We could not gain assistance after seeing that the department is not assisting us as the locals when we wrote the report to them that we are having a challenge. If we were dissolved, Honorable Chairperson, based on the fact that the ANC councillors, we are divided, and still on that, the chief of the ANC wrote the report to the IPC coordinator, which we never got the response to. As a result, that's where we are. But with regard to the dissolution based on the council failing to comply with their legislative obligations, it's not the truth. This thing is political, Chair. I don't want to go much into that, but what the MEC is saying is not telling the truth. She never supported us. She never consulted with council. She never came to the municipality to come and check as to what is this that is happening in the municipality. Even after the appointment of those parallel councils, which we are, and let me tell you, Chair, there's not two mayors, two speakers, and two municipal managers, because we have the court order which nullifies, which rules that the council which was conducted by then is nullified. As a result, it means the MEC is not also considering the fact that there's court order which says there's no other mayors and speakers and acting municipal manager appointed by that council, because we have that court order as we speak, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Your worship, the mayor. The DA, are you still there? You wanna talk or you okay? Because I don't want to get out of this meeting. Ahisa, Honorable Ahisa Mabrejani, you are on the
panel. I'm back, Chair.
You still have your time.
Yes, I'm very grateful for the personal term. But I wanted to say that the service delivery is going to collapse because council has made a direct connection with the hotel. The administration that we just proceed there, the welding plane won't be a solution in this election. So administration has never worked for you. They just come and go, and the council has been closed. They could and now they are coming. They are not doing their own way. And you wonder what kind of one that is doing.
Thank you very much. Has taken all the political parties in the local municipality, because we have invited the standing committee or the portfolio committee and the legislature. Can I give the parties represented in the legislature 3 minutes each? We have heard what your local counterparts are saying at local government level where it matters most in Swahili. We have heard their views, and I invite the political parties and the provincial legislature to also express their views on the matter. Starting with Mr. Divert, do you still want to say something of the
now, why not before the invoking of the Section 139? 3918. The other thing is the MEC of COGTA, Mayor Lenganisa, indeed, she is debating the municipality better because, like the councillor is saying, she is not only doing that to Zwalin, she did it to other municipalities as well. She's only meeting the SAMU as union, and at the local government, we are not having SAMU only, we are having SAMU and IMATU. And if the province is having problems, it can only be resolved if you meet both parties so that you can help the situation. But if you are biased, you will meet only one party like Lena is doing. So I'm also concerned on that matter. And the other thing is the Zwayin is being ruled by court orders. It's court orders left and right and center. The execution order was granted. The rule 18.3 was granted. The rule 18.4 of the Supreme Court Act was granted to nullify other orders. But no one is doing anything about those things. And I'm asking myself, where is the policies of the ruling party in this instance? Because I think whoever who is defying must be dealt with accordingly. And the ruling party is being quiet. The Zwayin is being heading the administration from 2016 until now, and it's not helping the situation at Zwayin. Administrators come and go. There's no report. There's nothing. When administrators come, the employees will be told that the administrator is coming. But when the administrator is going, nothing is happening. So it also doesn't help the situation. It just leaves the employees as being confused. So this section 1393 is not right now, because we are only having 14 days before the election. Why do we have it now? And we are still going to, the MEC is still going to employ and give the terms of preference to the administrator. When is that going to happen? The proper handover is not going to be there, because there will be no councillors who will give the new councillors the handover. So it's only again going to leave the Zwayin from better to worse. It's not going to help the situation at all. The other thing is the legal fees are being paid by the money of that is supposed to be used for service delivery, and nothing is happening. We are having two security companies at Zwayin. The employees are being suspended left and right and center. Now, Jonathan and Muruti are fighting for tenders. There's this video that is circulating everywhere. They are fighting for boxes of tenders because they want to eat something before they can go. And I don't think Section 1391C is best, because it will only deal with cancer. What about the administration? Muruti will still be there, and Ngade, Jonathan will still be there. What about them? The consequence management. Where is the consequence management? It's not there. I've asked about the policies of the ruling party. What does the policies of the ruling party saying in terms of those councillors who defy the MEC and the section 56 and 57? So this intervention is not helping at all. Yes. If it was 3 months, then we will be saying, okay, we'll try something. But now, it's not the right time for Section 1391C, Chairperson. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Imatu. Samu?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Can I answer? Can I answer?
No.
Kasu.
Council of the EFF, Kasu. We gave you a platform.
Yes, I just want to check. Yes, I just want to check. Thank you. I just want to check if we are in a meeting with Jonas. I'm seeing the name of it in the name. So myself, I can be in a team with Itumel and Jonas. If it's the Jonas, we is in this municipality. So I can, I'll be excusing myself if you clarify me if this meeting had Itumel and Jonas. Maybe the municipal
I have you. I don't know who Itumel and Jonas is. I can only vouch for, as a chairperson of this committee, I can only vouch for all members of parliament who are here, plus the administration from the side of parliament. And I'm aware that the MEC is here, and then the deputy minister is here. As to the rest, it's as per the invitation that was extended by the provincial department. And if there's anyone who's here by default, is not supposed to be here, can you please log out if you are not invited? But if you are duly invited, you are part of this important meeting. And it's going to be very, very difficult to can, at this stage, pick up as to who was invited, who was not invited. But I'm going to sincerely request that if you are not invited, you must vacate. Can we allow the meeting to proceed, please? In that sense. Imadu? Okay, my apologies, Sam.
Hello?
Hello, Sam?
Hello?
You're on the platform. You're on the platform. You can proceed.
No, thank you, Comrade Chair, Honorable China Dodo. My name is Tabang Chachu, the local secretary of SAMU Inside Municipality. I want to greet members of the House, the Select Committee, the Deputy Minister, Salga, and all members that are present in this meeting today. I've had speakers which have been speaking in this platform, but one would want to start from the level wherein the mayor was saying there has not been compliance or there has been compliance in the municipality. The reality is that the municipality has had many problems, and these problems has resulted in administrations after administrations. And as some were saying, as long as there are problems in the municipality, the constituency in terms of section 152, 153, and 154 would then be effected if the municipality fails in its national obligations to service and to do everything in line with MFMA and in line with the legislations that governs the municipality. Now the department and national would then have to intervene in line with all the legislations that give them the right to do so. Now, in this regard, Twain has been having a problem. Hence, Twain was under 1391B, which was interjected by the interdict which was made. Now, I fail to understand when the mayor, Memalwan, is saying the department have not been assisting. How was the department going to assist when they actually had interdicted the municipality with 1391B intervention, which the department wanted to put in place and to assist the municipality. We are sitting in this municipality where in some had organized a strike. She could not even get the memorandum inside the building of the municipality. At that time, it was Mr. Joaili, Honorable Joaili. He had to take the memorandum out of the premises of the municipalities on the basis of the interdict which was made. Now, am I audible? Hello?
You're
not
audible, it's okay.
Okay. I was saying, Mr. Twahidi, when he was there, he had to come and collect the memorandum of the strike of SAMU outside the premises
as a result of the 1391B interdict which was made. Now, I don't know which intervention would have worked for Zwayin when 1391B was put aside or was placed by the administration of the municipality. Now, as some were saying, the problems of this municipality has been from 2017 until today. Issues of statutory deduction were minimal because they were paid, though they were all the balances would not be paid. But the problems escalated from 2018, since Mr. Mruth became the municipal manager and the new councils took over, and there had been fights. The more fights erupted through Section 106 report, because then councillors, there were two sides of councillors. The ones which were saying the recommendations of the report should be put in place, and others were saying no, there should be other extension of interventions through that 106 report. And that's where the break in the council became worse. And that's where problems even worsened in the municipality, such that council meetings were then they were not adhering to council meeting. Council meeting were not called. Up until this far, if you ask them, Mr. China Dodofu, or Honorable China Dodofu, when last was a council meeting in Zwayin held, there has been a minority and a majority in a meeting, wherein there have been 15 councillors, 9 councillors of the ANC with opposition party, DA and Freedom Front Plus, forming 15 councillors, and 14 councillors of the 11 of the ANC and the EFF. And there has been a tussle of war. Hence, the looming battles that have been in Zwayin, because Zwayin has been ruled by court now, as you are saying. Now, all these have characterized themselves to a point where employees then became victims of the fight of these two lions that have been fighting. And as a result, Mr. Muruti went out for members of SABU. There has been disciplinary processes that are not even in line with the Labor Relations Act, wherein a disciplinary process would be followed to the latter. I'm talking today, there were employees who were fired, even without proper channels of the disciplinary processes. And we can't sit here and say SABU has been the problem in this municipality, when in line with the legislations of the municipality, councils are the ones. Now, there has not been oversight. There has been poor political administration in the municipality led by Medi Magato Malawi. And that is the reality of the matter. Hence, even today, when the MEC tries to intervene, they even threaten the MEC with the letter for going to court. Now, it shows that even intervention would not assist, because you've got people who are even in the department have got their piece of side wherein they fail. But drastically, the leaders of this municipality are the ones that have been failing us in this municipality. And it's clear as that, as some who are supporting this dissolution of this council.
Okay.
Because the council has not assisted us. There has been problems in this municipality. Now, the affairs which have been caused by...
As you round up?
As I round up, I'm saying in line with Section 32 of the MFMA, monies which have been used, or those who authorized monies that to go to the High Court without even council resolutions to that effect. We are saying Section 32 of the MFMA should be effected, wherein the monies should be recouped from those that have authorized those transactions. And the administrator, when he comes, he must just interdict their pensions and recoup those monies. So those monies would have paid ESCOM, would have paid SARS, SARS would have never attached the assets of the municipality. They would have paid pension funds of the employees, and they would have paid for service delivered, the monies that were used in court. Now, as some were clear, were saying were supporting any administration that would come in the best interest of the municipality, that would put employees and the community of Zwayin interest at heart. Thank you.
It's okay. It's okay. You love us your time. Can I invite the external stakeholders? I've seen the business forum represented here. anyone from the business forum who wants to address the meeting?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. I'm Chris Tufeljoen from the Twain Business Chamber. Good morning, all honorable members and all our attendees. We have the following concerns, especially regarding service delivery, collapsing infrastructure, total collapse of services as we speak. Parts of Bell Arrival are still without electricity after the load shedding stopped at 12:30 this morning. You are aware of the court cases AfriForum won against the municipality and district municipality regarding water, but still we experience times where there are no water available. The data figures that we showed on the HOD's report are totally incorrect, as I can prove to you that payments for the last 4 months has not been reconciled on the debtors' accounts. There are a lot of inflated debtors' accounts, especially regarding electricity usage. We met with previous administrators, Mr. Mossi and Mr. Ramakhaga, regarding this, but both were removed before we could do something about it. Regarding the intervention, we do not think that it will do any good as long as the current administration stays. Mr. Maruti has a track record of maladministration and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The sheriff wrote up the assets of a Tswain for SARS debt. If this was a private taxpayer, he would have been arrested, but still Mr. Maruti is free to do as he please. The HOD referred to the fleet. The fleet is used for private transport and taxis. We would suggest lifestyle audits on the MM, the CFO, all top management, and specifically the electricity department. The HOD referred to monthly reports. We are not sure how she will get to this, as she only has 3 weeks until the next election. This disaster did not happen overnight. It comes from 10 years on now. In 10 years in this province, premiers and ministers were notified that Tswain is heading for a disaster. Why now? Get rid of a municipal manager. Mr. Maruti is a big problem in this municipality. To close, we only think that the dissolvement will help if the administration is also removed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fuyun. Any representative from the youth organizations, if there is any? Anyone from the youth organizations?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Daniel Mbambani. Honorable Chair, I think we as young people in Tswain, we support the intervention made by the MEC, because I think it's long overdue, because I'm starting to be worried as a young person when the honorable councillors, they only want to represent their own jackets, not the service, to service our communities. Because the only thing that the councillors, they are interested in is tenders and their salaries. So young people were very worried. I have been listening to the councillors when they want this decision of the MEC to be revoked. But I think it is important, Honorable Chair, to know that it's been a long time. Our people on the ground live without a proper basic service delivery. Because I can even ask the mayor, when is the last time the mayor went to her office? Because it's been a long time. So I think it is very important, Honorable Chair, that the MEC and the NCOP continue continue with the section 139C. And another issue, Honorable Chairperson, we ask the provincial government to investigate this corruption that has been happening in our municipality since the inception of 2016 council. Because these councillors, they are not doing anything. The only thing they are doing is to fight for tenders. So we urge the MEC to investigate and to implement that report, the 106 report. So I think as the young people in the sub-region, we're very happy, and we support the MEC with the decision they took. Thank you very much, Dr. Chaiba.
Very much. I think the Honourable Chairperson has been cut off currently. I'm not sure who has joined us yet, but if he has not, I think we got a brief from the youth representation. Are there any other external stakeholders that would still want to have something to say? Please give an indication. I'm sorry, you're cutting off. Can you repeat what you said?
I was requesting that I be noted as the chair of the portfolio committee on the province. Where I am, the network is a little bit poor.
Also myself, Joel has been raising a hand. I'm the member of the provincial legislature, NWPN.
Okay. I think we had requested, the chairperson earlier requested political parties that are represented within the provincial committee of the legislature to make input if they had. At the time, I think it was just the freedom from prison that was able to make an input. We'll open it again. Mr. Motswana, I understand you're the chair of the committee. Perhaps as a representative of the ANC, we could give you an opportunity to speak. I don't know if there are any other parties represented from the provincial portfolio committee. But Mr. Motswana, I think I'll give you a second. Please continue.
No, thanks, Chair. As I indicated, I have a poor network connection where I am now. And we have also struggled as members of the committee to get the login details for this meeting for reasons unknown to us as members of the committee. But nonetheless, we would want to put a view as the portfolio committee that one set aside every submission that have been made in this particular matter of having to invoke a 1391C, given that we are left with 14 days, because then in terms of the Structures Act, the new council now that is going to be elected come the 1st of November, we then have the power to constitute a new council and so on. So it then means that we would want to, as the province or the executive, impose then on the new council that is going to come the 1st of November the administration that is not of the of their choice. This particular obligation should then be left with the voters and the constituencies that would be electing their own preferred candidates or councillors to then dispose of that particular functions immediately after that. We understand that Twain has had a court order starting to recognize that in the event that the individual consent and those that have then been to appoint that particular person have failed to set aside that particular process or set take it on review. Now, the processes of now having to put the municipality under 1391C, it will be totally irrational to put a municipality under 1391C or dissolve it when already the minister has proclaimed for elections. And their understanding is that once the minister has already proclaimed for elections, it then means those that are there now are just standing at the behest of having to pass matters of compliance. Technically, they are no longer councillors. They are no longer councillors, safe to say that if there are matters of compliance, they would go to council and dispose of those, that particular issues of compliance up until then the new council is elected. So virtually, we are now saying we are going to effect something that has already been effected by the constitutional imperative and the regulations as enacted on the Structures Act and your municipal systems Act. We somehow get into this meeting just to want to understand, but what is the rationality of all of these particular things? And we are waiting then to reconvene after November and for the MC to come and explain to us that the basis of circulating messages of people who are saying they've been in talks with the MC and the MC has agreed that she is going to then dissolve the municipality in order to get rid of senior managers that are there in that particular municipality. People who are saying that there should be consequence management are correct to then say we can't substitute consequence management for issues of 139B, 1391C. It is just a question of now wanting to run away from what we are supposed to be doing, because if there's a section 106 report, province must act on that. If there's, been 1391B, what are the outcome of that particular 1391B? That province, having spent money, should then pursue issues of their own inception of 1391B and then implement on all of those particular. So we see no basis whatsoever for this particular intervention to be made on the eve of the elections. Safe to say that there's going to be a new council constituted now, because all of the issues that stakeholders have spoken to, collapse of service delivery and so on and so on, those issues should have been acted upon many a times. It is not for the first time that the select committee is coming here. In 2019, in August, we were in that particular municipality in the presence of the administrator sent by province in that demo, when stakeholders welcomed that particular intervention and so on and so on. Province went there and removed their own people there, that demo and Ramahah and so on and so on. So you can't come back the very same department and say now 14 days going to the election, you are dissolved. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutswana. I think you spoke as representing the committee rather than representing the political party. Honorable Moloki Faile,
thank you very much. I appreciate. Let me first agree and appreciate that there are multiplicity of political and administrative challenges at Joaquin, but also that it has always been a good thing to really consider dissolving Joaquin, but there are now policy and legislative, of course, framework that creates a problem. Because scientifically and dialectically, it seems not proper to dissolve the municipality when only 21 days is left for the local election. Because by all virtues, by all inferences, the municipality had been effectively brought, its lifespan had been effectively brought to an end by the Electoral Act, by the law in all its forms, as we are heading towards the sixth elections. But let me also reflect on the issue of the policy and legislative framework challenge representation at the level of the district municipality in the event we continue with dissolution and we have the intervention moving for 90 days as provided for in terms of section 159 subsection 2 of the constitution, that once dissolved then the elections would have to be held within 90 days. It will be just the delay and the extension of the elections that have already. Hello.
My apologies to interrupt you. I think that we've heard what the chairperson of the committee presented. You seem to be repeating what he's saying. If you have nothing new to add, then perhaps let me stop you there.
On the, I was dealing with the issue of the 40% party representation on the basis of the PR ballot. Would be one element that would be affected. The 60% drawn representatives of the local council that should be elected by the council at the level of the district municipality. But importantly, lastly, when you dissolve the council, section 151 subsection 2 deals, provides in chapter 7 of the constitution that the executive and the legislative authorities reside with the council when the problems are. So my submission would be that we might have to make the administrative take over there if we do not consider business risk given the challenges of that municipality at this point in time. We might then require the administrative intervention, which maybe in this case I would suggest section 1391B will be the proper, not 1C, but also that in any event there can be consideration of the business rescue given the financial challenges of the municipality. On other service delivery matters like water, the district would always be the guilty party and we are not dealing with it because it will have another implication. So my submission is that let's maybe try to do as it is contemplated in section 151 subsection 4 of the constitution, that national or province may not necessarily want to compromise or impede a municipality's ability or right to, that it should exercise its powers or perform its function and then consider the administrative intervention. The problem that the municipalities are experiencing relates to the failure of the fiduciary duty of the accounting officer, who I would even have recommended that the law provides that criminal cases must be opened against the person who fails on the fiduciary duty and not necessarily on the part of the political composition of the municipality. That will be my submission. The law says section 1591, the term of the council would not necessarily exceed 5 years. That is in the constitution. And we are just left within one day that their 5 years should expire. It might not be reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think we, Honorable Dodobo, you're back. But I think we are now done with all stakeholders, internal and external. Perhaps you can take over.
Yes, can I invite, thank you very much for intervening, Honorable Sheikh. Can I invite Salga to come in to make submission? Any representative from Salga? If there is none, I assume that all those who needed to make their submissions have done so. What we are going to do, Chair, going forward, given the importance of this meeting, I'm going to allow questions and comments from members of Parliament. Hello, Honorable Silam.
I see Lance is on the platform. Salga is on the platform. Chair.
Okay, Lance.
Last time we did not give them an opportunity to raise their views, and I think it's important that we listen to their input as well, Chair. Thank you very much.
I kept on saying Salga must come in. Any person from Salga, and I thought perhaps that there is no one.
Lance, would you want to comment on behalf of Salga?
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to yourself as well as the members of the Select Committee, the Deputy Minister, MEC, all councillors from the municipality, as well as MPs, MPLs who are present. Greetings to everyone. No, Chairperson, I kept quiet because I'm in attendance with Councillor Stofile, and he's been with us, so I was going to give him an opportunity first, but I'm not sure if he has connectivity challenges. Perhaps I could start off, if you would allow, Chairperson. We have a brief presentation. We would want to make, but I see that the host is not allowing me to share my screen. Whoever is admin can give me the rights to share my screen so that we can make the quick presentation.
Yes. Fuad will help you quickly. Do it quickly, Fuad. This is quite important.
Sir?
Yes, there we go. You can proceed.
Hello, Stofile.
Is that Councillor Stofile?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you can speak before Lance proceeding the presentation. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to you and thousands of apologies to you to connect whilst I'm busy with other political work. And I really apologize because I must respect the House protocols and many other things. Greetings to you and the members of the Select Committee, the DM of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, the MEC and the leadership of the provincial government, both that are in the executive and those that are in the House in the province. Chairperson, let us appreciate and thank very much to you and your indulgence to give us an opportunity to reflect on this municipality. And as we reflect on this municipality, we will really request that we need to avoid a house to be perpetuated to be a rubber stamp of incompetences and wrong things that are happening in provincial departments that fits to the house to take a landslide decision about municipalities. As we're meeting today, immediately after the Constitutional Court ruling on the basis of Tshwane municipality, you will recall our debate at that night about Tshwane and many other issues that we feel uncomfortable with. And unfortunately, the court have confirmed some of the concerns that were raised, and they've been continuously confirming the manner in which we are dealing with these matters. And our view as an association, we seek to deal with political problems and bring it to a legal instrument to resolve that political problem. Listening to this municipality and being involved directly in that operation, it means there is a political problem. governance, managing in that. What were her roles when the councillors decided to go and establish another council outside the established council in terms of 2016 local government election results? What were their actions? Did she took an action about those individuals that walked out of the council being unhappy about council resolution, establishing their own council? They come here and say, you've got two councils. What was your role? What have you done? So that you keep a better governance, a governance that is responsive to challenges that are facing by our communities. Let us not play with the feelings of our people. Our people are facing, are expecting governments to render service, and therefore three spheres of government are directed by constitution to work together, and the parliament adopted Intergovernmental Framework Act so that you manage how to work together and you are not working in silos. And here in this municipality is the empirical evidence that municipality was thrown under the bus, no support. That is why there will be a complaint that the MEC drives from his office or her office, goes to a municipality, doesn't interact with the municipal leadership. Is that a real government or functional political work that you are doing in our municipalities? Creating divisions in the municipality and sit here and say the municipality is dysfunctional. I think, Chair, it is important for us to look into these issues. It's important issue. The third issue, Chair, is that when there is halabaloo of unruly, flouting of law and court judgments, no disregard of laws to be implemented, no police coming in and support the municipality to keep law and order. What is this cooperative government doing really? How is not able to mobilize other departments to support the municipality to achieve its goal? It is important, Chair, that out of this process, municipalities are expecting other spheres of government to play their role. And let us not be politicking on governance. Let us deal with governance and therefore throw administrators of COGDA under the bus. They must try to coin a political problem instead of making a legal problem. This is not a legal problem. It is a division of ruling party and individuals that are in council. We must name it as so as it is, including the elephant in the room that we have spoken to you in your committee that is in the recent past. The attempt of co-governing in the local space is a matter that you must deal with. The last issue, Chair, as you give land, the last issue is, even if you can sleep and dream today that a resolution will be taken 14 days just before the actual election, voters are going to stand on the queue and vote on the 1st, probably on the 4th, on the 4th of November, there will be a new council. If you don't deal with the elephant in the room, the temptation of co-managing, you are going to dissolve many municipalities in the country. The temptation of not dealing with the elephant in the room, differences of politics, of factions within a ruling party, they are going to come back and dissolve many municipalities. It is about time that political parties that are conducting elections and sending councillors in council, they must go to council and serve the interests of the community, not of the political interest that they spend them in that council. It is important for us to draw a line, to retain integrity and the credibility of the important house, a senior house in terms of the constitution of our country, NCOP, where all of us participate. We must defend and protect that credibility, not to be seen as rubber stamping the wrong thing, that political parties themselves can't resolve those problems. They decide to outsource it to somewhere else to take decisions. You can't resolve a political matter through legal instrument. I think that is our view as association. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Stobile. I think you were very, very clear and eloquent. Thank you for that. Lang, over to you, Mr. Lenz Jewel.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I am covered. We will share life, that we do not believe that the decision to dissolve Swahili Municipal Council is the right decision. It will not make the problems go away. The problems are beyond just the council itself. And therefore, we do not support a decision to dissolve. And our presentation, Chairman, which we will share, covers our support from the recent Constitutional Court case. And we would really plead that the Select Committee does not fall into the trap Councillor Stompila is stating of wanting to do the work or rubber stamp what has been done and not done so correctly. So that's our presentation.
Chairperson, it seems as if we have lost the chairperson. But in summary, Chair, we can open the floor to members to engage with the presentation. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Sauna, for your presentation. And I think members have taken notes and needed some of the issues that you have raised within that presentation. I'm going to perhaps then. Our members, I think in terms of procedure, the chairperson did indicate an additional meeting that we'll meet later today to express our views in terms of the intervention itself. However, I'm going to open it up for whether you have any questions of clarity that you would want to raise. You may please give an indication. So that you can raise those issues. You may do it by your raise of hand. Honorable members, it's open to yourself. Honorable members of the Select Committee on COPSA.
Yes, Honorable Sheikh, I'm battling where I am. It is because of the same problem that all of us are facing at the villages where I'm participating in the process of the elections. But I'm here, I hope that I'll be okay now until the end. Let's do that, Honorable Members. Can we raise our hands, ask questions to any of the presenters? So that we understand more and better the situation and get clarity in respect of the issues which were raised to this meeting. As Honorable Sheikh pointed out, at 5 o'clock, we have our own session that is independent of this session where we are going to engage, state our views, discuss, and at the end of the day, come to a decision on the way forward in terms of either approving or disapproving the intervention. But for now, let us seek clarity, ask questions, get some explanations on the issues which were raised in the meeting. Over to you, Honourable Members. Let me take hands. I note Honourable Faisal, followed by Honourable Sheikh, Honourable Sileku, and Honourable in that order, please.
Let's start, Honorable Karen Fraser.
Good afternoon already to everybody present, honorable members. Thank you for this opportunity. Chair, I just want in this on this day want to thank everybody that participated and brought their views to us, which is making a lot of things clearer.
The sound that is disturbing behind you, honorable, so can you just try to resolve that?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. I want everybody for their participation in today's meeting that brought a lot of clarity to us all. I can just say, as an ordinarily citizen of the Tuahim municipality, I am today really ashamed to sit and to listen to what has transpired in my province and in my municipality. And we have to resolve issues that we will just our meeting starts in June. I am just thankful also for the contributions of Salga, and I think we should go back to the drawing board and make sure that we do the right thing. I also, as a point of clarity, want to know about the finances of Tuahim municipality. I want to know about the equitable share that was paid into the municipal account on the 1st of July. The account
recording
was
stopped.
The account was frozen.
Recording in progress.
Sorry for that, I do not know what to think. The bank account was frozen, and yet there was movement in the account. Can we have, on the 68 million rand that was paid into that account, get clarity of what happened to the money and how could anybody access money if an account is frozen by the court? Thank you.
Thank you. To be meticulous, let us get the responses to the questions, because in the process we are going to lose other questions and that they are not going to be answered in an appropriate way. Can we get responses to the questions, Honorable MEC and Honorable and Your Worship the Mayor?
Recording stopped.
Over to you, MEC.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. I don't know whether you want to talk to specifically the equitable share issue, which in our view, the challenge that we have is that one, and that is one of the things that informed us having to take a resolution to dissolve, because the other party would freeze the account, the other party fights to defrost the account, and all those challenges are done through courts and so forth, which then becomes a challenge and have a very negative impact on provision of services to our people. But what I also want to say, Honorable Chair, I think in the inputs that your house has been making, we have identified questions that we think we have to make a presentation around them, just to introduce them and respond to what is it that the department has done in terms of all matters that your house has been raising. If we could be allowed that opportunity, I think, so that
we'll do that at the end. For now, we want answers to the specific questions that honorable members are asking, so that we get clarity and we do not lose some of these important questions, because this discussion is very, very much important. Over to you, Mayor. What has happened to the equitable share? What has happened to the 68 million rand? And what about the freezing of the banking accounts?
Thank you once more, Chairperson. Chairperson, whatever that is being raised by the Honorable and the question being referred to the MEC to be of assistance as to, is it true that the money of the municipality was carelessly used? I think the MEC should be, if indeed exco for the municipality to be dissolved. What is currently happening, Honorable Chair? The employees of the municipality are taking the issues and spread it on the social media as the rumor. I think if the CFO was given the chance in order to explain what has happened with the money, like I said, it's not a true reflection of what is transpiring in the municipality. What is currently happening, Chair? We to add on what the media is saying with regards to the municipality misusing equitable share, which is not a true reflection of what is happening. The monies that are being utilized in the municipality are being utilized in areas where it's necessary for those monies to be utilized, and it's being accounted for with the report that has been forwarded to the municipality on a monthly basis. For the account of the municipality to be frozen, it's true. We have been battling after that a local council was appointed with the appointment of the acting municipal manager, the so-called acting municipal manager, Dade Jonas. Immediately after his appointment, he wrote to the bank and requested the bank to freeze the account. And that's where the municipal manager started to struggle in order to pay even the statutory deductions, because the CFO and the municipal manager could not have access to the bank. Until the bank requested the municipality that, because it's torn between the two administrations, that the municipality should go to the
recording in progress
between the FNB and the municipality, so that the FNB can be clarified as to who is the relevant administration to be provided with the account. Because after the Jonas has written to the FNB to freeze the account, we submitted all the supporting documents, all the court orders that this council was under. The court ruled that this council was unlawful and that the Jonas is not the administrator who can instruct the bank to freeze the account. We submitted all those documents to the bank, but unfortunately, we could not. The MM could not get assistance until the bank wrote to the municipality to say, for you to get access to the account, let's go to the court. And indeed, we did not want to do that. Like I said, the money that are in the municipality is for service delivery. That's what Mr. said. I do not dispute. But the bank requested the municipality to go to the bank so that they can get clarity as to who is the administration, regardless of the court order that we have submitted to the municipality. And we did went to the court, and the court again ruled that the relevant person to be given the account is the accounting officer, the CFO, and the municipal manager is Mr. Deva. The court ruled that Mr. Deva should be given the account. And that's when the account was given to the administration, the current administration. And like I'm speaking with you, Chairperson, the account again has been frozen by the same Tate and Jonas. Immediately when the MEC wrote to the municipality to say EXCO took a decision to freeze, to dissolve the municipality, Tate Jonas took that letter of the MEC and he sent that letter to the bank to say the current administration is not the one that's supposed to be given the bank, because the EXCO, the council has been dissolved and it is the transition process, process. As a result, no one should be granted the account to
Honorable Chair, I think we note that there's dispute on the presentation, and I think the municipality will then identify those issues and be verified. And what we have presented is what we have, and have accepted the SS Costa in the province. What we must indicate in terms of parallel structure is
MEC support. The question is, what support have you given to the municipality for you to get the decision dissolved?
Honorable Chair, the support is as per the indication in the report. If you look at the presentation that we have put before the House, it indicates on what is it that we have been doing in the form of support to. And if there's anything that is being challenged in terms of that, I think we can still further clarify
can you just summarize
really
quick?
I want to go to the slides that talks to the support. The slide 13 from slide, I think slide 13. Of our presentation talks to the monitoring and support that we've been doing in terms of the MSA regulations, the support that we've been provided to promote participation in community-based local governance process, guiding the municipality to comply with the implementation. We've assisted with the reconciliation of valuation and others, as indicated, Honorable Chair, in the presentation. What I also would
request you to afford me an opportunity to talk to the Honourable to ask for the question. This is the issue of consequence management, as it has been asked. We can only intervene as per the dictate of the legislation, Honourable Chair, but we cannot run the municipality. It is the responsibility of the municipal council to implement consequence management, whether in the employees of the municipality or even at the level of individual councillors who misbehave, and then submit a report to the MEC for consideration and decision making in terms of individual councillors in the municipality. But we cannot on a daily basis then have to run the municipality, identify issues for consequence management and so forth and so forth. And hence, based on the challenges that were reported, we then intervened in terms of section 1391B, which correctly so as indicated was challenged, and we then therefore also monitored the progress in terms of what the municipality is doing, which then took us to a point where we also have to come back again and invoke the current section that we have resolved on as thank you very much, Chair.
Parallel, the question on parallels.
Where we're standing, we've been communicating with the council or the mayor or the municipal manager, which has been confirmed by the court. So from where we're sitting, we don't know whether there's still another parallel structure in terms of the sitting of council or what is the situation. But where we are communicating with the structure that has been confirmed by the court. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Sileku.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Allow me to greet everyone for protocol observed. And it's good to see members that are still safe and they're still happy and they're still alive. Honorable Chair, my observation is that we are not going to get answers to the questions that we are going to put forward. Make an informed decision come 5 o'clock, it's an issue that we need to consider. And Chair, firstly, I would like to request the municipality to give us, and I plead with them before our engagement at 5, a breakdown of the equitable share that was paid from the 1st of July 2021. That they give us a breakdown in terms of that equitable share that was paid over to the municipality, at least by before 5 when we engage. That's my first request. And Chair, let me appreciate the input from Councillor Stofin from SAUG, and also appreciate Honorable Motswana from the provincial legislature in terms of their input. And they have said a lot that I would have wanted to engage on, because it's the same thing that we were confronted with when we were sitting with Tswana, where one always gets a sense that we as the select committee, we are implementing an ANC decision.
Honorable,
you just passing with the Chair.
Don't pass, ask questions, things that you have not understood better from what was said in this meeting. We are going to have time to debate and discuss and show one another all the corners at 5 o'clock. For now, if you don't have questions, it's okay. If you are
it was scope scared, Chair. I wouldn't allow that opportunity to pass me.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but ask questions.
If you don't have questions.
When the MEC was addressing us, Chair, she mentioned that she engaged with the speaker or the mayor or the office bearer that she engaged with, hence they took a decision to invoke
section 139(5)(1)(c). So I would just want to the MEC just to clarify that if I heard her correctly, just to name like who did she actually consult with in terms from the side of the council. And the second one, Chair, is the two MMs or the two mayors can they just clarify the two mayors, where do they, are they coming from the same organization or are they coming from different organization? And Chair, in terms of slide 13, the support, I think a lot of emphasis has been put on the support. And I would just want some clarity in terms of specifics. When, you know, you date when the department or the province itself specifically start in supporting this particular municipality, from which date? And Chair, and the other thing is that Councillor Stofilas mentioned issues that mayors or a mayor has written to the Premier and to the MEC of Coacta in the Northwest, and there was no response. Can the MEC just clarify if it is indeed like that, that this particular municipality has been writing to the province, whether to the Premier or to the MEC responsible for local governance, and they have not responded to those letters coming from the municipality. Okay. And the rest, Chair, I will engage with the five. Thank you very much.
Okay, wonderful. Response, MEC?
No, thanks very much, in regards to the letters, Chair, we must indicate that the only letter that we got is the letter that was talking to the summons, if I may say so, the summons that says the intervention is being challenged. But I may have to check whether there has been communicated that has been requesting whatever the assistance or intervention from my predecessors. But as part of what we have been doing in the office, we have not been able to trace such letters from the municipality. We also must indicate, Chair, that the process has long started in terms of what the department would have to do in terms of joining a local municipality. But remember that the province is under section 100, and the Department of Coxa also is part of what the national department has been assisting in terms of correcting the situation in the province. And what has been the process, we have been receiving reports also from the team that has been working in this regard, which then would not expect that the House expect us to have started the processes from scratch to say what should be the consultation and so forth. But I know that part of what my predecessors has done was to also engage with the municipality in terms of your councils and other stakeholders around the challenges that are facing the municipality on the ground. What we have got as a report in terms of the two mayors and the two speakers, we can confirm that they are indeed coming from one political party, unless maybe the mayor and other councillors have got the information that is not the same, but that's what we have in this regard. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ethel Nkosi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to your good self, the Deputy Minister, and my colleagues, and all members present in the meeting. Chair, let me start by thanking you for organizing such a meeting, even though we know that we are having a busy schedule for the elections, but you
go all out to make sure that the meeting is sitting, because we all know that we must consult with the stakeholders before the decision is taken. And thank you so much for that, Chair. Chair, I think I just want to say most of my questions were raised, but except one that I want to check with the MEC. The one for the content of the presentation. I heard some of the members are raising that, I don't remember whether it's the mayor. Yeah, I think it was the mayor saying that the content of the presentation, it's not the same with the content of the letter that is written to the municipality with regards to the dissolution. So I don't know what is happening. So I just want to be cleared on that one so that you can all know exactly what is happening. Thank you very much, Chair. I submit.
Thank you very much, MEC.
As far as we understand, Chair, the contents are the same. What might be an issue is that because when we do presentations, we try by all means to summarize, Chair, but what the report that we have presented is what we have given to the municipality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Martha Butler.
Yes, Chair, I think most of my questions were covered. But just on clarity on the issue, of the Section 102 and the nullification of the court order, and I think you already touched on the consequence management, so I'm not going to repeat what other members already said.
Amici?
I just heard on the 106, I don't know, I didn't hear the second report, but indeed the investigation was done and the report was then presented to the municipality for implementation of the report, the recommendations thereof. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Who else? Honorable Professor, you wanted to ask another question. Let me give you that opportunity to do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you. I'm covered. I've also put it in the chat room. Honorable Selekru assisted me with that. Thank you very much.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm covered. If we can just have information on how the money of the Equitable Chair was spent, I think it will lead to a lot of setting confusions in a community if they know it was spent on things that was worthwhile. Thank you.
Okay. I have some few questions. I'm going to split them into two parts. I'm going to ask the first questions, allow the MEC to respond, and go to the second batch of questions because they are not related. The first question, MEC, why a decision, why you feel very strong that for a month before the elections, you must still go ahead with the dissolution of this municipality? That's the first question. The second question is, before you invoke Section 1391C, did you invoke Section 1391A to notify the municipality that you are going to invoke, you are going to act if they fail to rectify certain questions? That's the two questions first.
Honorable Chair, you would remember, as I said, that much of the work had already been done, and obviously, before even 1B that we had invoked, which was challenged, we had passed 1A. We then thought that based on the challenges, which I think some of the stakeholders have indicated, that they are not getting service delivery, there are no operations at the municipality, nobody goes to the municipality. In fact, one of the reports that we even got as part of the discussion
discussions with Business Forum in a meeting that they had requested with us was that you only see the municipal manager on month end when he's going to approve either salaries or pay tenders, business people who he chooses to pay. Generally, service delivery have collapsed. We went to the extent of also, as the department, going around your Delaryville, Otto Sales service of areas just to verify what is the situation on the ground. And we could also see for ourselves that there's no service delivery going to our people, sewer spillages all around the area, refuse not being removed all around. So in our view, what was our interest was that people must get services, and if our people are not realizing service delivery, then it's a challenge, because the core function of the municipality is to provide services to our people. When you go to the institution itself, no employees all around the institution, except where you see your security people who the report would also tell you that they are choosy in terms of who must get in the institution and who must not get in. So the employees, not all of them would have access to the institution. So generally the operations are down there. The municipality is not doing anything in terms of service delivery, and hence the challenge that we thought that it became worse. And I think it's what the mayor also have indicated, where we also saw a video that was viral, where your senior managers, whether Mr. Jonas, your Mr. Muruti, you know, the video was going viral, tenders, you're fighting for tenders, the other one says tender the documents must go there, the other one says they must go there. And so that on its own was telling us that indeed the systems in that municipality have collapsed. And if you don't have a functional council, which is supposed to be playing oversight in terms of what is happening in the municipality, then obviously the legislation that governs local government would not be implemented. The consequence management that your honorable members are referring to would not be implemented, because there's nobody who is responsible for what is happening in the municipality, and therefore we had to opt for the current section, which is section 139(1)(c), which we indeed felt very strong that, because in our that it must be invoked, because in our view every minute and every second counts in terms of what is happening on the ground, especially in our municipality, when maladministration and corruption is a challenge, it would mean would have to come up with some intervention to find to avert the situation. Thank you very much, Chair.
I thank you very much. To my next question goes to the mayor. Mayor, with this kind of crisis as obtaining the municipality, what were you expecting the provincial government to do? Clearly from the submissions of different players, there are infightings within the council itself. There are divisions within the governing party in the municipality, that meetings of council are not sitting regularly, that you owe Eskom a lot of money. In your own admission, people are fighting for tenders. They even went to collect the tender documents. And it is not clear what interventions were made to stop that. But there are infightings, and people are getting attacked by the security within the municipality and all of that, and that there is no service delivery, potholes, spillages of water and so on, under the circumstances, when the municipality is in such a state of affairs, what were you expecting the provincial government to do? If you can just answer that question, please.
Thank you, Chair. With the challenges that we had, let me first, before I go to those questions, respond to the question which was raised, whether the municipality did receive the response from the MEC when the municipality wrote to the MEC with respect to the letter that she wrote to the municipality. To date, Chairperson, we haven't received any response from the MEC to date, not unless that letter will be sent today, but for now we haven't. The speaker, I confirmed this with the speaker, she hasn't responded any response from the MEC. Chairperson, what was expected to get assistance from the department? Firstly, I expected that my NPO do intervene, because the most challenges or the most problems were created by the division of our NPO councillors. I was expecting that immediately when we wrote the report to my leadership, they respond, because that's what led to what we are today. And with regard to the government, even before we had minor challenges, like I said when I was doing the presentation, that I don't respond, I don't dispute that the municipality is having challenges, especially with regard to the revenue, which it should be there for the municipality to continue providing services to the municipality. We wrote to the department to seek for an intervention of some employees who are continuously disrupting the municipality, not enabling the municipality to proceed with services. That's what we expected the department and the province to intervene, but we could not get that assistance to date. Now, what I'm saying, if we should have got the response or assistance from my NPO, which my NPO failed to assist the municipality, especially when we were fighting as the councillors of my NPO, that we couldn't be in what we are today. With regards to the fighting of tenders or whatever, Chair, that's not the case. We went to the municipality. The NEC is saying she came to the municipality, she intervened with what she explained in her presentation, which I'm still repeating is not true. We wrote to the previous NEC. All those letters we wrote to the premier's MCs, and we sit down with the MC, because reports are already piling in her office, which are not being responded to, but still, the MEC did not come to our rescue when we were requesting the intervention. When the MEC is saying we went to meet with her and we also acknowledged that the municipality failed, that's not the true reflection of what transpired in our meeting. When we were in that meeting, the MEC, we went to that meeting because by then we were in the meeting with the Deputy Minister Obed Bapela, when we received the call, myself and the speaker, that those some members again, they went to the supply chain offices and took all the documents of the tender. That's when we say, because we were in Mafikeng, we waited for the MEC to give us a platform to go and meet with her. That's when we insisted that we go and meet with the MEC. And what Commission for her at the hearing, we insisted that we go and meet with the MEC and explain all the challenges which emanated after the appointment of this elder Jonas. And
Mayor, the question is, what were you expecting the government to do, both provincial and national government, not what you are saying? That is a question. Under the circumstances, as straightforward as that.
We expected, thank you, Chair, we expected the government the government to support the municipality before they can come into the decision of dissolving the municipality. We expected the government to support us, which we could not get from the local department, from the province, and even from national. We never got any support from those departments, if I may put it to the Chair. Thank you.
Yes. My last question goes to Honorable Twaile. Are you still there, Honorable Twaile? Honorable Twaile? Okay. The question was...
Now I'm covered. Sorry, it's an old hand.
No, it's okay. I'm asking because you are one of the participants here, and you asked the question, and you made a few. And I'm taking this advantage because you were the MEC, you are the predecessor MEC of the department. And my question is, you together with the Minister of Culture, Dr. Nkosazana Zuma, undertook an assessment, made an assessment of the state of municipalities in the whole country. And 64 municipalities were identified as high-risk municipalities, which could be dissolved, some of them, if it is possible, and Twain was one of those municipalities recommended for possible dissolution, and that report went to cabinet. Are you still, the question is, are you still believing in that, or have you now changed your view in respect of what needs to happen in respect of this municipality? Over to you, Honorable Twaile. Okay. In the absence of that, I don't get a response. Safe to say that there was a, we are all aware, there was that assessment made by National in respect of what needs to happen in respect of different municipalities, and 64 of them were declared crisis-riddled municipalities, and Twain municipality was one of those municipalities with all the problems related to political situation in the municipality, problems of governance, problems of administration, financial management, as well as service delivery. And there is a report by National Department in respect of the state of Twain municipality. And it was recommended that it must be one of the five municipalities in the Northwest to be dissolved. I wanted to place that on record because I wanted Honorable Twaile to respond to that, because he was involved in that process. It was not the Select Committee that was involved, but it was government that was involved in that process. With that, I think we have come to the end of this meeting with the understanding that we have listened to the inputs by internal and external stakeholders. We have carefully listened to each one of them. We've taken notes. We are going to prepare a report flowing from this engagement, and at 5 o'clock this afternoon, as a select committee, we are going to reconvene, when which I will present a draft report on what transpired today, and allow members of parliament to deliberate, to engage, and speak to the report with a view of adopting it. And once that process is done, at the end, we are going to going to decide whether we approve the decision of the provincial government of the Northwest to invoke Section 1391C of the Constitution, thereby dissolving the Twain local municipality. Either we will approve or we will disapprove. And as I indicated, on Wednesday, Parliament is going to sit in a special session to consider this particular report. This engagement, as we pointed out from the beginning, happens under the backdrop of the following two key issues. The one issue is the assessment report that was made by the National Department of COGTA together with provinces on the state of municipalities in the country. We will consider that when we take a decision. But secondly, we are going to understand that the Minister of COGTA, Dr. Rosanna Zuma, has approved this intervention by the provincial government of the Northwest, the way in which she wrote a letter to approve its dissolution. In terms of the legal implications and all of that, those are the matters that will be exhausted and ventilated in the meeting at 5 o'clock. And members of Parliament will be free to express their views, to present their suggestions, to state their cases in terms of what is it that thing they think needs to be done, taking into account all the issues which were raised, including the fact that we are only 21 days before the local government elections. With that, thank you very much, honorable members and all the stakeholders, specifically the MEC for COGTA in the province, as well as the Deputy Minister of COGTA nationally. We always count on your support. We are quite excited that you attended this meeting. You deliberated with us. You gave us the necessary information that we were looking for. So to thank members of the Portfolio Committee on COGTA in the provincial legislature of the Northwest for attending, despite the fact that this, according to you, you are only informed now. We don't know what has happened, why we will check with the office of the MEC, why the invitations were not either extended to you or they arrived very, very late to you. But with that, we really apologize because we want your input. We want to hear your views. We want to hear how you're working and collaborating and overseeing the executive actions of the provincial government in the Northwest. That is very, very much important. Municipalities can survive and can be sustained if we hold them accountable, we engage with them, we play our role as Parliament to ensure that we achieve those particular objectives. Stakeholders led by the mayor and other councillors who were here and officials, as well as the external stakeholders, including the business and the youth organizations which attended here, we really, really thank you for expressing your views in this regard. So are the political parties that are represented in the municipality, as well as the unions. We stated their views and opinions about the situation in the Twain local municipality. With that, we come to the end of the meeting. As I said, thank you very much for attending this meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Recording.
Thank you very much.